Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Taking a break from laying down the law in the courtroom to lay down the law in the sports world. Here's Judge Dan Jacobs on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, we'll get right to it. The lovely and talented James Marillac joins us. James, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Dan. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. Excited. I guess I'll start with this, because it was a conversation we had last segment. Are you going to watch UFC tonight?
No, I'm not a big UFC guy.
Well, most people aren't.
I guess if there was ever a time I would watch it, it would be now because there's nothing else going on. But no, it's not on my Saturday night agenda.
Interesting. So you're not starved enough that you'll be that desperate to watch UFC. Is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather watch, what is it, the KBO or whatever the Korean baseball is. I'd rather watch that than I would UFC.
Korean baseball? American baseball's not worth watching. Why would you be watching Korean baseball? Good God.
I know, if I really want live sports, that's what I would watch ahead of UFC. I don't know, like, I don't mind boxing. But I'm not a fighting guy in hockey. I don't like UFC. It's a little too over the top for me. It's a little too much of I feel like I'm, you know, watching a brawl in the streets, which, you know, some people like that. I feel like, you know, I should step in and separate them or something. Just not my thing.
Yeah, the thing I don't like about it is the goal in UFC is essentially to get somebody defenseless and then pound them while they're defenseless, which to me, it just there's something wrong about that, you know?
Yeah, no, there's just something about it, and you're right, I'm with you on that. I think that's what kind of puts it a little over the top for me, so, and I get it, that's a very fine line or a gray area that I'm working in, because I don't mind boxing, and I don't like UFC, but, you know, I'm wired weirdly, that's all.
Yeah, well, we know that. We can check your Twitter feed, and there'll be plenty of people to line up say that, right?
That's right.
But you've turned over a new leaf. You've been mentioned a lot on the station this week. You put the high watermark on the Broncos. I don't know what Cecil's prediction was when he finally had to make it. When I hosted with him on the draft a couple weeks ago, he was like, maybe 10 wins. And you came out and you said 10 wins, right?
Yep. I'm at 10 wins. It's going to be a roller coaster to get there, though, because I have the Broncos starting 5-1, and people will be really excited heading into that.
5-1.
Week 7 showdown with the Chiefs. And then it'll be a little bit come back to reality with that loss at home. But they lose 5 out of 7. All of a sudden, they'll be sitting at 6-7-6. But then Drew Lock leads them to 3 straight wins down the stretch, get to 10 wins, and make it into the playoffs. It's going to be, a roller coaster.
Yes, and Garrett Bowles, according to you, is team MVP, right?
No. Don't put words in my mouth. I think Garrett Bowles, by the end of the year, will be, you know, a above-average left tackle. He's going to be the 12th, 13th best left tackle in the league, which, you know, you could improve upon that. You could upgrade, but the question becomes, is it worth the huge financial commitment or a first-round pick commitment to try and upgrade from that? And I don't think the Broncos are going to think that's money and or draft capital well spent.
So walk us through this. And, you know, you and I have fun about this because, you know, we've always had fun with the rest of the media. You've called them the minions. I've called them the lapdog, John Elway suck up media. But, you know, we've been over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, very honest about the Broncos, and our honest opinion has been they weren't going to be very good. And guess what? They weren't very good. And lots of the minions and the suck up lapdogs were like, oh, they're going to win. They're better because of this and that and la, 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 la. And they were terrible, right? Worst stretch in NFL history of the franchise. Now, all of a sudden, I'm guaranteeing they go to the playoffs. You got them at 10-6 going to the playoffs. Where did this metamorphosis come from on your front?
Well, I mean, the number one thing, and it's the main reason I didn't think they were going to be very good the past 4 years, was I like their quarterback now. I think Drew Lock is going to have some of those games where we're all wanting to bang our head against the table because he's still a young, inexperienced quarterback. But he's also going to have games where he pulls rabbits out of his hat and, they win games that they probably shouldn't have. You know, if you look back, like the Trevor Siemian era, the Joe Flacco era, how many games were there where they were like, man, they were right there. They had a chance to win it and couldn't pull it off. Or Case Keenum overthrowing Demaryius Thomas down the sideline would have been a go-ahead game-winning touchdown against the Chiefs a couple of years ago. Like, they've been close. They just didn't have the guy that could make those plays. I think Drew Lock, will make enough of those plays to push him over the top. I mean, I've said this for a long time. I think every NFL roster, 40 guys on every NFL roster, they're all the same. They're all interchangeable. Maybe even more than that. You have a handful of stars, of difference makers. You know, you got to make sure that's who the guys that you're giving big money to are in that category and perform at a high level. And then it's all about the quarterback. So I like, the Broncos have guys like Von Miller and Bradley Chubb and Cortland Sutton and, some quote unquote stars. And now they have a quarterback that can, make some plays. And it's not just big plays. It's avoiding a sack to kind of keep the chains from getting behind the chain. So instead of second and 17, you have second and 7. It's those kind of plays that I think he'll make enough of them during games that'll make the difference. So very long-winded way of saying because of the quarterback, that's what's changed my opinion.
All right. So I talked to our old friend, the Hitman Joe Williams, this week. And
okay.
Joe was being Joe when he's like, you guys are all getting caught up on Drew Lock. Drew Lock hasn't proven nothing yet. Are we overly optimistic on Drew Lock's prospects, given the small sample size and the way they kind of shielded him last year?
I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with Joe that he's unproven. He is unproven. He's played 5 games. But, I think all of us saw what he did out there and saw, flashes. Other than maybe the game in Houston, I don't know that he was really good from start to finish in any game. He was pretty average against the Raiders, even though they won. But we saw little glimpses. We saw little flashes. We saw those moments. And if we're being honest about previous quarterbacks, we didn't really see that out of Case Keenum or out of Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch, really. I mean, certainly not in not in multiple ways. I don't think you're saying or I'm saying or really anybody's saying he's going to be the next Aaron Rodgers or the next Drew Brees or anything like that. We're just saying he's an upgrade over Case Keenum, Trevor Siemian and Joe Flacco, which seems like a really modest compliment. And he is better than those guys. For the first time since Peyton Manning was the quarterback, I'm excited to see what this team can do. I'm looking forward to Sundays. I got to the point where I was dreading it unless I needed a nap. I don't think anybody's getting carried away with Drew Lock because I don't think anybody's saying he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. We're just saying he's better than the nonsense we've had to watch the last 4 years.
Yeah, well, I don't know that John Elway will be too happy with you calling Joe Flacco, who's a Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback just now entering his prime, nonsense or whatever. Let's talk about that. You want to think about this week? I'm out doing, my walks and I'm trying to figure out who the Broncos are, but it's like, Elway sells us the same stuff, he's year after year, like the Flacco thing, just an all-time gaffe, the way he tried to, fishhook everybody on that. And is it that John Elway is just an ultimate salesman and he's trying to be a salesman and misled people on purpose, or is he just that bad at his job in evaluating good players and coaches?
It sounds like a lawyer with the leading question there.
Yes. There's no other possible answer other than the two choices I gave you.
Either than these two crappy choices where you're going to be ripping the guy.
Right.
I think John Elway was guilty of? I think he thought that, hey, this defense was so good in 2015, I just have to find myself a serviceable quarterback and we can be a playoff team and we can be a contender. And so he talked himself into, I don't think he talked himself into Trevor Siemian. I think that was we have nobody else because the Mark Sanchez thing didn't work out. He really tried it. if you look at it, it was Mark Sanchez, it was Case Keenum, it was Joe Flacco. In 4 years, he kept trying to find that veteran quarterback that could just kind of keep the train on the rails, so to speak, and let the defense carry him. And it's just that somehow works in the NFL. I mean, teams that win strictly on defense are aberrations. They tend to be one-hit wonders that can do it for 1 year and they can't repeat it. Because like I said, when talking about Drew Luck, you have to have a guy who can make some plays. And those quarterbacks just couldn't. So he was guilty of thinking they were close and that they had a dominant enough defense that they could win games with a marginal quarterback. And long-term, and certainly over the course of multiple years, you just can't do that. And so I don't think he was lying to us, and I don't think he's bad at his job necessarily. I just think he thought those guys were serviceable enough that they could win with the defense, and that was a miscalculation on his part, to put it mildly.
Well, when I say bad at his job, more what I was thinking was, I think he was absolutely bad at selecting certain coaches, and he was also really bad in the draft and they're paying a price for that, or they did pay a price for that. He was really bad in the draft for a good stretch there. So when I was thinking about him being bad at his job, those were two major things, and then he's sitting out there selling them. We're still kind of a win now and from now on type team. So while I don't disagree with anything that you said, yeah, that was his thinking, and it was flawed thinking. Surprising that a Hall of Fame quarterback would think you can just slog along with, you know, a mediocre guy. But wasn't he bad at his job at those other things I just mentioned?
He was bad at drafting. I mean, you can look at it. I kind of evaluate whether or not a guy was a good draft pick or not of whether a team gives him a second contract.
Right.
And off the top of my head, I think it's been Von Miller, which no brainer. He was second pick in the draft. You and I could make that pick. Derek Wolf. Okay. Good pick. Second rounder. They, you know, he played here for 8 years. Jeff Heuerman, which why he ever got a second contract is beyond me. And Andy Janovich, who now is no longer here. That's it. Those are the only guys that have gotten a second contract. So he has not been very good at drafting at all. First round picks that have been busts, you know, Paxton Lynch, Sylvester Williams, Shane Ray, Garrett Bowles, you can put in that category for sure. So at least Garrett Bowles, they get something out of him. At least he plays. Some of those other guys never even got on the field. So yeah, other, you know, and people talk about, oh, the last 2 or 3 years, he's been great in the draft. Yeah. You know, Cortland Sutton, really good pick. Bradley Chubb, when he's healthy, I think he's going to be a really good pick. But other than that draft wasn't great. So,
well, James, on that, I was talking about that last week. That was a 10-pick draft, and realistically, 70 to 80% of those players, I think it'll probably be about 70%, maybe 60%. They all could be gone, you know, less than 3 years later. Like, that was the draft everybody crowned, right? I actually think last year's draft was better. But everybody was crowned. You know, Royce Freeman was going to be a back. We got our new DT and Emmanuel. And it turns out it was two players.
Well, and you're right. And that's why I call them the Dove Valley Minions. Because, you know, training camp of that year, everybody was raving about that draft. And everybody's just repeated that since then. Like, it's fact. And you're exactly right. If you go back and actually look at it and think about it critically, it was two guys. It was Bradley Chubb, which, again, fifth pick in the draft, you better hit on that one.
Right.
And then Cortland Sutton, okay, that's a really good pick. And I know it's the 40th pick, and that's, you know, a high second-round pick. But still, you get a Pro Bowl wide receiver at that spot, I'm going to give you credit for that. That's a good pick. But the rest of that draft is nothing. But because at the first training camp, everybody talked about how, oh, they hit it out of the – hit a home run here, hit it out of the park. John Elway changed the mindset. They're drafting a bunch of team captains now, and philosophy changed, and this is a great draft. And that just became fact. Nobody ever went back and evaluated it. So, see, that's why you and I are here, Dan.
I wouldn't say nobody, James. I was evaluating it, and I was taking quite a bit of heat for it.
Then you're 100% on the mark. Yeah. You know, it was an okay draft. And look, if Bradley Chubb turns out to be a great player and Cortland Sutton's a perennial Pro Bowler, it's going to go down as a pretty good draft because it was great at the top, but the rest of it wasn't any better than any of his other drafts. So, they really need last year's to continue to look like it's good, but let's see at the end of this season if we think that. But certainly, you know, Noah Fant looks like he's a starter here and going to be for a while. Dalton Reisner and Drew Lock. If you hit on those three, it doesn't matter what the rest of them do. That's
It's a
really good draft. Hopefully this year it's a similar kind of thing with Judy and Hamler and Ojemudia and those guys, but we'll see. But you're right. His drafts have been brutal. And I don't know for a fact that they've turned the corner on that, but you know, if they got two really, really good players 2 years ago, three last year, and this year's draft certainly on paper looks good. At least it's better. So it's better than terrible. That's what I'll say.
All right, last one for you, because it's been driving me crazy. Now, because it goes along this conversation. We have a really weird thing in the Denver media right now where everybody, after all these years of sucking up to John Elway, they're all scared to death, you know, to predict the Broncos to be any good this year. You know, they're hedging their bets. Well, they could be a playoff team, but everybody's, you know, got them right there, 7-9, 8-8, maybe 9-7. But they still sucked up on the draft. Like, this was this reminds me a whole lot of the draft from 2 years ago we were just talking about. Like, how great this draft was. What's going on with your friends in the media? Like, they're still sucking up on the draft, but then they're scared to death to put any high expectations on the Broncos.
Yeah, you're right. That is interesting that nobody will kind of put their neck on the line when it's time to make your prediction.
Just you and me.
You know, I think, yeah, exactly. The draft is kind of one of those things you can praise it. Like we were just talking about with the one 2 years ago, you can praise it and then nobody's going to remember what you said about it, or, you know, nobody's going to call you out for being wrong on your evaluation of it. Whereas, you know, when you pick him to go, look, we're still giving Nick Ferguson a hard time for picking the Broncos 12-4 last year. When you put a number on it and it's something you can clearly see, were you right or were you wrong? Were you overly pessimistic or overly optimistic? I think people are a little less willing to venture out on that limb. And look, people would rather be wrong on the conservative side of it, right? And the conservative side is to say they're 8-8. And
right.
if the Broncos are better than 8-8, nobody's going to be mad at you. But if you raise expectations by saying, hey, this is a 12-4 team, and then they fall short of that, people are bummed out about it and ticked about it because you set them up for disappointment. So I think they're just, they're being cautious. I get it, but I think this team's going to be pretty good. And, you know, I try to be fair on it. So if I'm ripping them and if I say they're going to stink, because that's what I truly believe, when I truly believe they're going to be good, then I'm going to venture out on that limb and say it. So I think that's what it is. I think people just want to manage expectations and not get called out for being wrong when they hype stuff up that they shouldn't have.
Right. All right. So later in the show, I'm going to talk about your article, Timeline 25. 1996 is this week. So is this something we're going to do do a different year each week? Or what should we look forward to in that series?
Yeah, every week we'll do two different years. So it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday series. So the Tuesday and the Thursday are kind of a look back at the five biggest stories from those years. So this coming week we'll do 1997 and 1998. And then sandwiched in the middle on Wednesdays, I find someone from that year, from those 2 years, that is sort of a forgotten hero, so to speak. So this past week, in the first week of it, we did Valerie Kaminsky, the guy who scored the first goal in Avalanche history, which wasn't Joe Sakic, wasn't Peter Forsberg, wasn't any of the usual suspects. Not only did he score the first goal in Avs history, but he scored the game winner with 4 minutes to play in that game to give the Avs a win over the Red Wings. So kind of three stories every week. We'll look at a couple of years, and then we'll look at a forgotten hero from those 2 years.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk about the 1996 a little bit later in the program. So appreciate your hard work on that and everything you guys got going at 1043thefan.com. James Merrillat, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on.
All right, time out.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank.
Banking for good.